weekend and bringing you up to speed on current events. This is CNN 10, and I'm Carl Azus. We're thankful you're watching. Thursday, January 27th, marked the 77th anniversary of when the Auschwitz-Birkenau concentration camp was liberated during World War II. Located in Poland, this complex was the largest death camp that Nazi Germany had. More than 1 million people were killed here in the early 1940s, and Auschwitz still stands today as a symbol of terror and the Holocaust. The vast majority, an estimated 90% of those murdered here, were Jews. They were among the 6 million Jews the Nazis killed during the war. Millions of others the Nazis opposed were killed as well. That's why the date of January 27th, when Auschwitz was liberated by the Soviet Army, has been designated as International Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's marked each year by ceremonies and educational events designed to preserve awareness about it, oppose arguments that deny the Holocaust, and prevent future acts of genocide. A letter written shortly after the Holocaust ended made news just a few months ago. At a flea market in New York, an author who investigates heirlooms recently came across this document. It was written by Ilse Lowenberg, a woman who jumped from a moving train bound for Auschwitz in 1943. According to ABC News, Lowenberg spent 3 days walking back to Berlin. She hid out there until she was recaptured in 1944, and she was held in prison until the summer of 1945. That's when she penned this letter to her sister, who had emigrated to England before the war. Ilse told her that the rest of their family had been killed, but the sisters reunited and eventually settled in New York, and the letter was recently returned to their great-niece, who remembered Ilse and said her family was in awe. Up next today, a U.S. Supreme Court justice looks toward retirement, and the government looks toward the nomination of his replacement.
I'm here today to express the nation's gratitude to Justice Stephen Breyer for his remarkable career of public service and his clear-eyed commitment to making our country's laws work for its people.
After serving almost 14 years as a Court of Appeals judge, Stephen Breyer was nominated to the Supreme Court by President Bill Clinton in 1994. Justice Breyer, who's now 83, made his decision to retire official this week, saying he planned to serve until the end of the court's current term in June, assuming his successor has been confirmed by then. In a public event Thursday with President Joe Biden, the High Court Justice said despite Americans' many different viewpoints, they've come to accept the importance of the rule of law. And he referred to the idea and the views of some previous presidents that America is an experiment.
You know who will see whether that experiment works? It's you, my friend. It's you, Mr. High School student. It's you, Mr. College student. It's you, Mr. Law School students. It's us, but it's you. It's that next generation and the one after that. My grandchildren and their children. They'll determine whether the experiment still works. And of course, I am an optimist and I'm pretty sure it will.
The U.S. Constitution doesn't set a limit for how long justices can serve on the Supreme Court. It says only that they should hold their offices during good behavior. But 2022 is an election year. The midterms, held in November, will determine the makeup of the next Congress. So Breyer's been under intense pressure by Democrats to retire during this term because right now they control the White House and the Senate, the two parts of the government that nominate and confirm Supreme Court justices, and that gives Democrats an easier path to sitting the justice of their choice. Breyer is considered a liberal justice, which Democrats generally favor on the high court, while Republicans generally favor conservative justices. And though President Biden isn't up for re-election this November, his recent approval rating reached an all-time low. That's part of the reason why Democrats may lose their narrow Senate majority in the midterms, and that's why they want to confirm another liberal justice before that could happen. We'll be explaining next week how the nomination and confirmation processes play out, but right now, we're having a look at who may be likely to get the Supreme Court nomination in the days ahead.
The big question now, who will President Biden pick? On the campaign trail in 2020, then-candidate Biden vowed to make history and nominate the first black woman to the bench.
I committed that if I'm elected president, have an opportunity to appoint someone to the courts, I'll appoint the first black woman to the courts.
The likely front-runner, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, a federal judge and former Supreme Court clerk for Breyer.
We will start with Judge Jackson.
She was vetted by Biden and his team just last year and comfortably confirmed to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals, with three Republicans joining Democrats in support.
When you become a judge, you take an oath to look only at the law in deciding your cases, that you set aside your personal views about the circumstances.
A close second choice is California Supreme Court Justice Leandra Kruger, a former acting deputy solicitor general in the Obama administration. She once clerked for the late Justice John Paul Stevens and has argued cases in front of the high court.
Oral argument doesn't very often change the outcome of cases. Occasionally it does. Occasionally oral argument reveals a new dimension. It is also, in the United States Supreme Court, the first time that all of the judges sit down together.
Other names circulating, Minnesota District Court Judge Mimi Wright. Outgoing NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund President Sherrilyn Ifill. Second Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Eunice Lee. Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals Judge Candace Jackson Akumi. And South Carolina Judge Michelle Childs, who has the backing of House Majority Whip James Clyburn, the man who convinced Biden to publicly pledge to nominate a black woman.
And she has a kind of diverse background in life and education and work. An incredibly smart woman that I believe would do well.
The eventual nominee will face a high-profile confirmation process with the 2022 midterms looming. Senate Democrats don't need Republicans to confirm Biden's nominee, but Republican opposition could still be a factor.
We don't even know who the nominee is yet, so... that's something the president has an opportunity to make. Should there be a vacancy?
Whoever is picked, Breyer had this to say about the job.
Really, when you put on that black robe, you understand whatever the appointments process, however politically involved it was, once you put on the robe of a judge, you're a judge. And that means you're a judge for every person.
10-second trivia. Which of these animals is an example of a chelonian? Squid, sloth, tortoise, or crab? Chelonians include turtles, terrapins, and tortoises.
Happy birthday, dear Jonathan. I'm singing to a tortoise. He lives in St. Helena, a remote island in the South Atlantic. He's making news because he's old. How old is he? Jonathan the Giant Tortoise is celebrating his 190th birthday. Guinness World Records says he's the oldest chelonian ever known. For reference, when he was born in about 1832, electric light bulbs didn't exist. Britain's Queen Victoria was a teenager, and no one had ever been photographed. But Carl, you might say, I see a picture of him right here. Yeah, from when Jonathan was 50, but there's no record of his birth, so Jonathan could actually be as old as 200. What a turtle to turtle. Of course, he never lived life in the fast lane. He ate a lot of fruit and he stayed out of soup, so maybe you could terrapin his longevity on that. For reference, the average lifespan of a rabbit is between 3 and 12 years, so Jonathan won that race by more than a hair. Woo! Fridays are awesome! Bear River High School gets today's shout-outs. Great to see our viewers in Tremont, Utah. I'm Carl Azus for CNN.